What's up, punks, trenchies, and death clowns? The following is part of an 8-episode series examining the trans allegory of Lisa Frankenstein. Be sure you've watched the movie first. I will not be held responsible for you being spoiled otherwise. Okay, let's go! Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. Tilly Vision stops for no one, except for me, when we get to the end, in the unintentionally intentional trans allegory of Lisa Frankenstein, Part 5. This week, we'll examine the hell we've been trapped in and confront a part of ourselves we've left for dead. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, someone I actually believe would never leave me for dead, Susan Bridges.
Hello.
I'm correct about that, I hope.
I mean, yeah.
That's exactly what you'd say, even if you weren't, though, so.
I would make sure you were dead.
Wow.
I would not leave you for dead.
Okay.
There's some unsurety there.
You would make sure I was dead and then leave.
Commitment.
Once more, our returning guest is the unimpeachable Kent Eigengrau. Welcome back, Kent.
Oh, hello.
All right.
We're fine.
We're all fine here. I don't know how many times I've got to tell you, but you definitely need to hear parts 1 through 4 first and episodes 134 to 137. If you start here at part 5, listen, I won't be held responsible for your confusion. Ready? Heck yeah. Go! 25 minutes, 47 seconds. Lisa climbs out onto the roof and we get our first look at the house she lives in, is trapped in. It is gender conformity all the way down, with only more gender conformity and dysphoria inside.
And it's kind of old-fashioned looking, too.
It is, yeah. And look at how the symbols just below both house peaks look like a uterus. They are the highest points for the woman at the top and the girls beneath her. Making babies is what women are for, and that includes you, Lisa, because you're a woman. And then there's the two oval windows in places of prominence that look like vulvas. This house is nothing but conformity and dysphoria for a trans man. And again, trans dudes don't need to have bottom dysphoria, but this is metaphor, and Lisa sure seems to have bottom dysphoria. 26 minutes, 18 seconds, she falls, and Frank is there to break her fall. Super text, you better believe it. And there they are, face to face. But he's sure hard to see clearly, isn't he? The neighbors hear Lisa screaming and think nothing of it because Lisa's very odd. Not worth helping when you scream, not if you're going to be all trans about it. But they think Taffy's adorable, and what a figure. Ew, it's so gross.
It is such an interesting moment with the neighbors.
And interesting.
But also, like, the societal value on the girl who's doing everything right and looks pretty like she's supposed to.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, you conform, so you're all right to have in the neighborhood, but
and we will be concerned if you scream, but everyone else, go to hell. This is how society reinforces its gender norms and compulsory cisness, and we absorb that our whole lives and learn we'd better be good little cis folks or people will never help us. And how sad is it that we're at the point where just not helping us feels like it would be a step up from everyone always attacking us? To learn more about the ways society programs these things into us, listen to episode 57 on implicit queer phobia. 26 minutes, 55 seconds. Back in the house, Lisa sprints past the mirror and it once again splits and breaks her reflection. She picks up the red phone to call 911, but hears Frank on the phone? He's grunting into her dad's shoe phone from the other room where he sits on the floor. She's going to call for help, and the man she is or wants to be is there for her. He is the help she seeks. Strange by Galaxy 500 plays again. We've previously heard it in Lisa's dream, her dream about becoming her true self. That it plays here when she finally meets him is telling you lots. Are you listening? Frank is missing a hand. The man she truly is doesn't have all the body parts you might expect a man to, or doesn't look the way society tells you that men look, and she's immediately no longer afraid of him. 27 minutes, 35 seconds. Look at the pink and blue under the stereo right next to Frank. Transness. Lisa mentions the shoe phone was a free gift with her dad's subscription to Sports Illustrated. Remember those days?
Those are the days.
More conforming to gendered expectations. Does Lisa seem sporty to you, like she wants to play sports? No, that is also not the kind of man she wants to be, but that's what society says men have to be. And this shit really messes you up when you're trying to figure things out. And no shade if you are a trans guy who likes sports. I like sports, and I'm a trans woman. Like what you like, but also there are things society says we have to do and like to be men and women, and that is bullshit. Did you notice that the golf club Lisa grabbed to defend herself had a green-blue dysphoria cover on it? Being a sports dude is not the kind of man she wants to be either. Frank, give...
Maybe we should pause.
Yes.
Kent, do you have thoughts?
I like just rattling off the evidence, like
yeah.
you really are building a case here. And the more that you come up, the house thing definitely got me. I've been thinking about that. I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't notice that like the windows placed in very specific areas like
yeah.
are suggestive of anatomy and all
They're
that.
So
Like,
suggestive.
I mean, there's always been an interest and fascination whenever you see like a old Gothic or Victorian style house in like a
Yeah.
movie or in a book or a play or anything. It's always symbolic of like the body or like the subconscious mind and all that. Like there's essays and essays about like the Victorian house and the haunted house specifically, as like the different states of like the id, the superego, and the ego, and all that Freudian stuff.
Yeah.
But I've also seen it talked about as if it's a body. So like Haunting of Hill House, you get that
yeah.
a lot. But yeah, no, here, the window placement, I'm just thinking about that. Like, okay, yeah, no, it's a bright pink Victorian, like Gothic manor house.
With
That's
uteruses
clearly
and
been,
vulvas on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
Very
definitely telling
aggressively.
you something.
Yeah.
Frank gives Lisa her lost slipper back. This guy you are inside and want to be, he can help you, Lisa. 28 minutes, 26 seconds. They talk about the music and she asks him if he likes the song about how living a lie brings no joy. And she says she has the cure. And Frank is excited and holds out his hand stump. And she means the band, not the cure to gender dysphoria, but that music can cure him emotionally. But she does have the cure to Frank being incomplete. Letting him out and transitioning can make you whole.
It's really good, though, like the way they play off each other.
Yes.
This is really cool.
Yeah.
The physical acting
yes.
is so, so well done. That was incredibly impressive for Cole Sprouse to just like do so much without speaking
right?
is
He doesn't speak to
incredible.
What he has almost no lines, and
yeah.
He's really good at conveying so much like feeling and emotion with grunts and looks and yeah.
Yeah, like it's an entirely physical performance and it speaks volumes. It's almost more endearing than all of the other characters that seem to like use their time to just speak and speak and speak, and it's usually very denigrating to Lisa most of the
yeah
time.
yeah and in fact we're going to get to a bit, I'm not sure if it's in this episode or one of the ones upcoming, but the movie in fact addresses how little Lisa has spoken up to this point, and we'll talk about why. 28 minutes, 33 seconds. She takes Frank to her room and says, "We've got to hide you." Yeah, we know what happens when you let your inner man out. Your mom becomes dead to you and vice versa. Definitely no one can see you. We only let our true selves out for minutes at a time at first, hidden behind closed doors. When they enter her room, aka subconscious, in the background you can see a poster for The Mummy on the wall. Remember how she wrapped herself up in blankets when Frank was brought back to life? This will come up again. It's something that's on Lisa's mind. Frank spots the rubbing from his gravestone and points to it to let her know that's him. It's you, Lisa, the true you, back from the dead. It's not too late. To confirm, he pulls Lisa's mom's rosary out of a pocket. He kept it safe, just like she asked. Reconnecting with her inner man that she thought was dead brings back all those feelings from her mother that kept her trapped, and now she's feeling all those things again. 29 minutes, 28 seconds. Lisa, you? You're him? Well, why are you here? I didn't ask for this. Why is this happening to me? He lifts her hand to kiss it, and she pulls away, disgusted. Sadly, society teaches us to be disgusted with ourselves, that our transness is something wrong, to be ashamed of, to hide behind closed doors. She is not ready to fully accept. Oof, that internalized transphobia hits hard. We covered that in episode 18, if you need a refresher.
Yeah, going through just like a journey of self-discovery, there's always so much you have to unlearn about what society has kind of taught you to respond with. Like growing up, there just weren't a lot of trans men that I knew of or could even think of. So for the longest time, I didn't think that there was a possibility of like getting myself help.
Yeah.
And so it was something I had to kind of discover and unlearn over time of like, I knew what the problem was. And I thought I knew how to fix it, but I wasn't sure that that was a possibility outside of, but I feel like trans women get a lot more visibility for better and worse a lot of times than trans men do. So early on, there's just a lot of like, a lot of people will come to like LGBTQ stuff and be like, okay, I know that lesbians exist. I know that gay people exist. They're in my town. That they might even be in my family. They might even be a sibling or a friend, but they don't necessarily know any trans men because either they're just not visible in the media or we have a tendency to pass and then go stealth and just sort of not tell anybody that we're trans. So a lot of times it's just sort of like, yes, there's trans women and everybody's always yelling about trans women, which is unfortunate. But then trans men are kind of like invisible and in the background a lot.
Yeah. When I was a kid, like I didn't have any real access to like trans women either. Like I've said many times, my first introduction to the entire concept was Ace Ventura, which is horribly damaging and terrible, right? That messed me up for years.
Yep.
But it is a very real thing, especially these days when trans women have more visibility than trans men do, that trans men are often forgotten, even in good ways and bad ways. And like, you know, the bigots tend to not focus on you so much, which is great, but then you get forgotten in all the important parts. And so I don't have the episode number handy, but please, folks listening, go back and listen to the episode on the erasure of trans men, because it is a real thing that our society does, and it should not. You deserve better.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
It's interesting because, like, with all of the, you know, ridiculous sports bans and things.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Trans men are very inconvenient to all of the argument for us.
Yeah, we break their brains.
They're on testosterone and they're not beating cis men. Hello. It does. You disprove all of their arguments, which is why they tend to ignore trans
men. Yeah, so arguments.
It's like, why worry about that? We're not talking about that. But I honestly, like, I don't even think trans was a thing I knew someone could be until after college.
Well, I was well into adulthood, when I knew finally that. So
growing up in a very conservative town.
Yeah, there was like maybe 5-ish, maybe 6-ish gay kids in my school class that I can think of growing up. Like, health class was not useful to most of us. And we just, I was from a very, very small rural town in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So we're kind of an island out there. And it's funny because a lot of the stuff in the high school in this movie is just sort of like, ah, yes, this strange 80s, like, clique aesthetic kind of thing where everybody's like the jocks and the popular kids and the cheerleaders. Like, that was a thing that still existed kind of in my high school, just because we're so kind of out into the middle of the ocean. stuff takes a while to kind of catch up and reach us.
I think
So.
it's still like that in high schools today to some degree, like maybe to a lesser degree, but there's still those same divides because society still tries to force us into those boxes, right? Nerd or jock or what have you. So
And some people are very comfortable with the boxes.
some people love their
Some
boxes.
people really love the box.
29 minutes, 47 seconds. Lisa, when I said I wish I was with you, I meant I wished I was in the ground, dead. Life sucks and people are jerk-offs. She wished her false girl shell was dead so she could be with the boy she'd been pretending was dead all her life, and now he's here alive. Also, realistically, a lot of trans people feel so attacked by society and their own friends and family and are left to suffer that many can think death is their only way out. And that's extra horrible and sad because happiness is attainable if we're just supported. Lisa clarifies she was only looking for that way out and didn't realize there was another way out of her pain and misery through him. Frank is saddened by the news. He cries. He is sensitive, and the smell overwhelms her. Now, look, she was kind of into the smell of the guy she thought she wanted to be, Michael Trent. What would it be like to smell like that? Here, her true man has a smell, and it revolts her. Remember that the tanning bed shed is our metaphor for hormone replacement therapy. If you need more on HRT, episode 110 of this show is your friend. Well, one of the first things to happen for a lot of people who go on HRT is that our smell
Yes,
changes.
yes.
Really early on in my medical transition, I just started smelling like a girl. For trans people and testosterone, it goes the other way.
Yes, you very much need to figure out what deodorant is going to work for you. And again, that's something that can help you early on, even pre-tee, is to find shampoos in the men's section, quote unquote, men's
Yeah.
section. Just find stuff that makes you smell the way that you want to smell,
Yeah.
and that will help immensely. But also, yeah, it's no joke. You will get a lot sweatier. You will stink a lot more. That is a thing.
Well, okay, so let me ask you then, going the other way and getting the boy smell, was it hard to deal with? Did you find it unpleasant, or were you like, it was like some kind of like gender euphoria because that's how dudes smell, or like how, what was it like for you?
I mean, in one way, it was nice because it was like, oh, okay, this was the puberty I was supposed to have. This feels a lot more
Yeah.
comfortable than the other way around. The other way around kind of felt like a slow motion Cronenberg movie,
Yeah, exactly.
whereas this sort of felt, okay, this is correct. This is the right direction. But it was surprising, but it was also something I had kind of recognized of like, okay, I've been through high school. I know what smelly boys in high school smell like. Like
Yeah.
you are going through puberty a second time, more or
Yep.
less.
Yeah.
And so everything that would be happening in the expected puberty that is corresponding to those hormones, that is what will happen. So yeah, it was surprising. Luckily, I was pretty decent at hygiene beforehand, and I felt
Excellent.
like the more I recognized myself, the more I wanted to take better care of myself as well.
Oh, yeah,
So
absolutely.
that also helped with smell.
It sure does. Well, I imagine everyone is familiar with the smell of boy funk. It is generally somewhat less pleasant than girl smell. Some people undoubtedly like it, but Lisa was not prepared for her smell to change and possibly, quote unquote, worsen in her opinion. It is also possible that suddenly smelling like a boy spiked some internalized transphobia. So do listen to episode 18 if you haven't yet. 30 minutes, 37 seconds. She takes him into the bathroom. He picks up a douche and she's like, no, he drops it. Many trans men would like to not have the body parts those are used on. I'm just saying. And again, you don't need to have or want bottom surgery to be trans. Okay, just clarifying, this is all metaphor. You will find no trans medicalism here. And if you don't know what that is or want to know where it comes from, listen to episode 60. 30 minutes, 43 seconds. The mirror in the bathroom is fixed already, but through this scene, you never see them in it. But here you can see Lisa is looking at it, but she's not looking at it straight on. She's looking at an angle. She is looking at Frank, even though he doesn't at all look like the man she recognizes or wants to be. She can see him in it.
All right, that's good. That's cinematography right there.
Right?
That's
It's so good. 30 minutes, 56 seconds. Lisa says she hasn't talked this much in a long time or in the entire movie so far and couldn't talk at all for a while, which all started after her mom's quote-unquote death. She asks Frank if he's going to talk, and he only moans. He cannot talk. When did that happen to Lisa? After she talked to her mom about her gender feelings. And here she is encountering her inner man, and he cannot talk either.
During my transition, I'd say that, like, my voice was definitely something that bothered me, I think,
Oh,
a
yeah,
lot. Like, that
mine
was
too.
something I was so incredibly dysphoric about for a very long time. I would also just sort of refuse to, I couldn't order at restaurants. I'd have other people order for me.
Same. I still make Susan do it most of the time. Because if I have to get louder, my voice tends to get a little bit deeper.
You're good at it now.
Well,
order at Costco yourself all the time now for your pizza.
That's outside and it's not as loud.
Yeah.
As when you're inside and there's all these
it's
voices.
Not loud.
Not like inside. Or the voices echo off the wall.
I do order at In-N-Out. That's true.
Yeah. Occasionally, I cannot get to the register that I used to be at before. Like, I cannot get as high up as I used to be. But when my voice started changing, that was when I think I really felt like more strong and comfortable with myself, more than any other change, I would say, is once I started to sound like the voice that was always in my head. That was nice.
Same for me, but that took years of speech therapy for me with
it
was really tough.
Because hormones don't affect trans women's voices.
Once your voice deepens, the hormones cannot raise it. But you reminded me that I forgot that really early on in transition, when I was presenting as myself, but I sounded in a way that was so dysphoric for me. Like when I would go shopping, like grocery shopping or whatever, I would do everything in my power to not talk to anybody because I just couldn't. It made me feel so bad.
My hack was I worked at a library for a while, so I just couldn't speak.
Smart.
And whispering sounds different.
It does.
Whispers.
31 minutes, 16 seconds. She turns on the shower radio for him, not Taffy's station, quote, for beer sluts, LOL. But she turns it to the college radio station, which are often indie, counterculture, unrestrained, nonconformist. And she says, it's for people like us, with feelings.
I love that line.
Yes. But like us, Lisa, with feelings? What kind of feelings? This is a newly undead man you know nothing about. How could you know he had the same taste in music unless... Yeah. 31 minutes, 48 seconds. Up the down escalator by the Chameleons plays as Frank showers and over the next scenes. With a title like that, you know it's a song about not conforming to what society expects, not taking the easy way of doing things the way they want. Here's a choice snippet of lyrics. They sit at their tables and throw us the scraps. For Christ's sake, leave us something. Now they can erase you at the flick of a switch. How long now will it take now? There must be something wrong, boys. They're dragging me down, and they're dragging me down. They're dragging me down. You either swim or you drown. You either transition or you succumb to dysphoria. Yeah, there's something wrong, boy.
Again, with the physical performance, him just like kind of face planting into the shower wall.
Yes.
It's just like, oof. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. Showers are tough.
Especially early in transition when you might not have seen the body changes you are looking for and you are...
That is a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, showers were always rough for that reason. But then like even early on, you're like, things are starting to change or maybe a little, but they're still not... It's not going fast enough. It takes so long. And so you feel bad still, you know, in some ways almost worse. Because it's like you finally start and you're like, it took me this long to get here. Why do I have to keep waiting? Why is it still like this? Now I know the problem and it's still not all better. 32 minutes, 9 seconds. Cleaned up and closer to the real him, looking more alive, Frank wears a lady's robe. Lisa opens her closet and dresses him in a bunch of her different clothes because when you transition at first, all you have is your old clothes from the gender you never were. Lisa's closet has the man on the moon with a rocket in his eye on it from her dream. She keeps a poster of it in her room as a reminder, an aspiration, like a vision board. But every time she puts Frank in the closet, supertext, the moon is split and then forms a barrier keeping them apart. She's never going to get there by keeping him in the closet. But she closes it, leaving him in there. He opens it in a White Sox baseball jersey, which she just already happened to have,
I have
pristine
so
and
many
new,
comments on the clothes
because she
in the
never wore
closet.
it because she's not a sports guy. He opens it again and comes out in a kind of Western cowboy shirt. It's blue, as are his pants, and he has cowboy boots on, all of which she just already happened to have. He opens it again in a red and blue collared shirt, jeans, and red shoes, all mail coded, which she just already happened to have.
Okay, so 10.
Yes.
Yes, this is the part where I was like, I have so many comments on the specific outfits being chosen here.
Okay, let's hear them.
Especially the one that they end up with. It's I when I saw it, I was like, that not only definitely suits him, but it's also very much a stereotypical trans man outfit. Like I truly think that I wore that in high school. I think that I might have that in my closet now, frankly.
Amazing.
The olive drab blazer and the band t-shirt. And yeah, I was like, okay. I see it now. That's yep. But I think that the clothing choices and every one of these kind of like teen movies will always have like a makeover scene where they do a montage of like costume changes and things. But I think that if we're applying that to like the trans lensing of this film here, I think early on in transition, there's always that kind of idea of I need to buy a whole new closet. I need to figure out how to dress like a man or dress like a woman or dress androgynously, and you try to like overdo it early on. And there's lots of trans people that I know that have bought far too many clothes, and then they're like, oh, actually none of this is actually me, but I
Don't
got
give
really
me that look.
excited.
No.
And then there's these like
Stephen.
binges and purges of closet that happens repeatedly, I feel.
It does. Yeah, I had that same issue, but at first I got stuff. Listen, no, had, because at first I got stuff that I thought I would like. And then after wearing it a few times, I'm like, this isn't really me. But you don't know until you try those things. And so now, yes, I have many clothes, but they are all me and my style once I figured that out. But it takes time and experimentation to know what's going to feel right to you.
And space and
And
money.
space to and space and money, yes.
But
Just
yeah, no,
crying a little bit.
that's all. I feel like all or most trans people have a story like that where they get really excited. They're just starting out and they really want to overdo it. Again, going back to it's sort of like going through puberty again. In middle school, you don't really know how to dress yourself, but you're getting more responsibility. You're able to do more things on your own. You're able to pick out your own stuff, but that does come with a bit of awkwardness while you're learning. So.
Yeah, it sure does. Frank pops out in a pink satin robe, and Lisa says she loves it, but Frank doesn't. She's tried a bunch of different guy clothes, and none of them felt right. So she went back to gender conforming in a women's pink robe thing, and her inner guy said, no, that's not right either. He comes out in a pink and red getup, mail coded, that is also not right, which he again just already happened to have. Then Lisa has an epiphany and gives him a stack of clothes from somewhere that include a violent femmes band t-shirt. What might society say about a perceived woman who refused to conform and said she wasn't a woman at all? Under a men's blazer, all of which she just already, okay, look, you get the bit. But she had these clothes because she'd already been experimenting with dressing in guy clothes because they gave her gender feelings, possibly even left over from when she first realized and came out to her mom, which went disastrously. These are the whole early stages of transition, trying out so many things that don't work or aren't right, backsliding, jumping forward, trying to find what feels like you. We don't do it in one night or in a montage set to music, but you know this is art and not real life. 32 minutes, 37 seconds. She's brushing his hair in the bathroom, trying it different ways to see what looks best. Here, finally, we see them together in the mirror looking at each other. He grunts toward his missing hand, and she says, I can't do anything about that. I'm not a doctor. Yeah, some of us do need medical transition. Lisa, but it's okay. They're just things that make you different. So she's telling herself here that the fact that she doesn't have the body you might expect a man to have is okay. It just means that she's different. It doesn't mean she's not really a man. And if you think that's a stretch, I beg you to please keep listening through the end of these episodes.
I just want to flag that there's like no possible way these clothes could come from anyone else in the house. Like, her dad would
No.
not wear these
Yeah.
jeans.
No, and they're not Taffy's or her mom's.
I have
Obviously,
a
no.
theory. Maybe she's nabbing them from her job where she's fixing clothes. I don't know. That's one possibility.
That's
Sure.
interesting.
But also, like, I definitely grew up and society was like, oh, this is a tomboy, quote unquote, as much as that term is loaded. But yeah, like, all of my closet was basically already set up for me for the most part. I didn't even own a dress. And when family members at events were like, you should be wearing a dress, I'm like, you're gonna have to buy me one because I don't own one.
That was the one thing that always bugged me just a little bit, is that there are tomboys, as loaded as it is, but there's no reverse of that, because anything feminine that a boy does is derided and you're mocked for it. And so
Or
it's like,
sissy.
right. So it wasn't
Well,
like
I
I could
mean,
have sort of the
there is a
other end
bit of a
equivalent.
change with that going on.
Is
There's
there?
always femboys,
Oh,
which is like
yes,
a
the femboys.
so
Right.
that is a growing fashion and style and lifestyle that's out there. It's definitely in like my generation, so like Gen Z and kind of younger, that that has kind of grown out of, which I think is it's a good healthy reaction to the hyper masculinity that's also taking place in my generation and younger. So it's an interesting space. I think it's very new, but yeah, again, you're allowed to be a feminine man. Like, that is, you are allowed. If you want to be a trans man that's also a femboy, you're allowed to do that. Nobody's going to stop you.
You could
Like,
do anything you want, babes. Lisa then goes on to explain that there's a character with an eye patch on a soap opera that's very cool, and his eye patch doesn't define him, but his name is Patch. And she realizes our terrible society sadly does define us by our differences.
that was great acting too, as she's like reading it off. She's
Yes.
like, it's not. Oh, it
Oh,
is.
wait. It is. Yes.
I am always seen as trans before I'm seen as a woman or a wife or a mom or a writer or anything else. See No Escape from Reminders I'm Trans in episode 132 for more on that. And look how neither of them are really happy yet. Just because you start transition doesn't mean you instantly start seeing the real you in the mirror. It took me years of transition until it started happening regularly. And you can watch it happen for me in real time in episode 92 on Photos 2, The Selfie Apocalypse.
Yeah, I also did that. I was trying to take a picture every week after my shot. I would take a picture of myself for the longest amount of time, and I got like to 8 months in before I was just like, this is a lot of work and I don't want to compile this. So.
Did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say that, like, it's kind of an evolution, like your style and things. Like, it doesn't have to be one thing. Like, it doesn't stay the same. Like, things change as time goes on. And even cis people, I think, go through that too, with, trying to
Sure.
figure out your wardrobe and your hairstyle and what makes you feel good and
And
what
your tastes
doesn't.
change as you change. And yeah.
And so I think cis people can understand that.
One would hope.
One would think.
34 minutes, 5 seconds. Lisa's parents come home and we hear them yelling from downstairs about the broken glass and mess from Frank. And Lisa gasps and instantly tells Frank, get in my closet. Well, it was fun to experiment alone when nobody was here, and now back into the closet we go so my parents don't find out. 34 minutes, 12 seconds. Lisa comes down the stairs, reassuring them that she's fine, but they're not at all concerned about her, only about, again, the way this has affected them. It is cis grief again, all up and down. Read the essay on it at
TillysTransTuesdays.com.
Lisa makes a hilarious bad excuse to cover up what she was really doing. Janet. Lisa got a lot of attention when the tragedy happened, so now she's, well, recreating the scene of the crime. When Lisa's mom, quote unquote, died, it's when Lisa first revealed the piece of her truth. But clearly, we only do it for the attention. So many Republicans think we actually do that, or the trans kids actually do that because it's popular, or we just want attention. And so here's Janet correctly piecing together that there's a connection between Lisa revealing a piece of her truth when her mom died and what she's been up to tonight. I told you. I effing told you.
Imagine thinking being trans is something you do to be popular.
I know. I mean, it just shows like they truly think that like it's almost like the reaction that conservatives had to punk back in the day, or to goth, which is present in this movie as well, where it's just sort of like, oh, you're just being subversive for attention. You're just trying to attract like attention and eyeballs and shock and horror to you. And it's like, I just want to live my life.
But no, they think that's the only reason anyone would not conform, because that's the only
Yeah.
reason they would not conform.
Exactly. It's always about like, well, how would I interpret this? How what would make me want to do this? It's like it's not
Exactly.
about you. And it
It's
also
not
just kind
about
of
you.
shows where their head is at for like they truly don't have anything else going on that they think that something that extreme and necessary for life is so subversive and for attention. It's like, are you really that unpopular that you think the trans kid in school is the popular one?
Like that's, you're so out of touch. Janet. She has been ransacking her home little by little, the cake stand, the bathroom last night, and now this. Why won't you damn transes see how this is affecting me, a cis person, and the only one who matters when you come out? She needs help, residential treatment. She needs to go somewhere. Get this trans out of my life and out of society. Can't you see what they're doing to me and my home? Never once showing an ounce of concern for the child she's supposed to love and care for. 35 minutes, 18 seconds. Frank hears this and he stumbled out of the closet. Lisa's inner self has more confidence than the false shell and can't stand the way that they're being treated. Episode 31 of this show was all about the changes in confidence that can come with transition. 35 minutes, 43 seconds. Lisa, I'm not crazy. No, she's not. Her dad, nobody said that. Taffy, my mom actually just did. Dad, no, she would never say that. This is societal gaslighting from episode 95 in action. It is real and it absolutely sucks. Janet, you're either crazy or you're just goddamn inconsiderate. Me, me, me. Why won't you think about how your transness affects me?
Just can't help saying it like she says it.
Oh, it's so good. Her
Janet
line
is
read on that is just, it's so
just
good.
it's such a good performance. It's
I
just
know.
so like like you just it's so infuriating and so just
Yes,
like blatant and camp and
she's
just
really
like
good at making you hate her.
yes.
36 minutes, 25 seconds. Lisa retreats to her room, back to the despair box of bed, the gender conformity of the pink wall, the fear light framing the photo of her mother, the danger right in front of her. Phew! Frank gently comes out of the closet between the moon with a rocket in its eye. Lisa rolls away from him, tears in her eyes, rejecting the truth she was starting to find again because cis people put their feelings over her needs and hurt her. Her family hurt her, and it's making her reject her truth. This happens to so many of us, sometimes even from those who supposedly love us the most. See cis spousal and partner support in episode 71 to learn more. But this is the actual goal when cis people treat us this way, even if they don't know it consciously. It's to make it too painful for us to continue existing as our true selves, so we'll reject our truth and we will suffer, so cis people don't have to be made uncomfortable. Those who do that to us do not care about us. No one would ask us to suffer for their convenience, actually cares about us, no matter what they may say or think. So Frank retreats back into the closet and closes the door. And now, even the idea of gender euphoria of flying up to that moon is in that dysphoric green blue glowing in the dark, all that she can see. Thanks for being here, Kent.
Yeah.
Come back next week to see transition begin and how that opens you up to a whole new world in ways both good and dangerous. Tilly Bridges and Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges at mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
Some people really love the box.